1 Timothy chapter 5 tonight, verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. We're going to focus on the last phrase of this verse. Keep thyself pure. This is not going to be a normal sermon. We are going into our missions conference. Our theme this year is committed. And we'll be talking over the next few services, weeks, and leading up to the missions conference about being committed to reaching the world, committed to the eternal, and those subjects. But I thought we'd start tonight by preaching on being committed to purity. And I want to preach a little bit on dating, courtship, whatever your philosophy is. We're not arguing philosophies tonight. We're speaking on the subject of purity. And normally during a message like this, I've preached in the past on the subject of courtship and dating, those kind of principles. I like to throw in a lot of humor. I don't feel humorous tonight. I feel burdened. We live in very unique times. We live in very different times. We look back and whatever your concept was, if you go back and look at some of the old black and white movies, that day and age is long gone. The day and age of dad sitting on the front porch with a shotgun when a young man showed up to propose. I've looked at some of these young men. I've just waited for the opportunity for someone to come and ask me about my daughter so I could just say, you don't even look like what I'm looking for. But they haven't even provided me the opportunity. But no, I want to mention it. Young people, my concern is this. We want our young people to do right, marry right, and live right. But there has to be a commitment now to purity, because you are living in days when everything is leading to an impure lifestyle. And when we talk about purity, it's not just during courtship or it's not after marriage. It's leading up to courtship. And I really want to address this group right here. I know most of our youth is in the back in different classes, and a lot of our teenagers are upstairs. So I'll stay on this side of the platform, although I'm preaching to the entire church tonight. I'm extremely burdened because we're watching Satan pick off. Satan, we've seen in the past, was a sniper, but now he's just by the dozens, by the scores, Christian young people that are losing their purity. There's no longer an importance placed on purity. And now parents that used to protect their kids from the defilement and sexual defilement, now they're introducing their homes to that defilement at a young age, 10, 12, 13, 15 years old, by way of technology, by way of cable TV. And I'm not going to preach on those things. I think everyone here is fully aware of those dangers. But young people, I want to preach to you specifically about your commitment to purity. Because at some point, I believe the majority of you are going to get married. Most of you have hope. Some of you have hope. Not the front row, but the rest of you have hope. You do understand there are principles, basic principles. Young ladies, let me just say a word of caution. For you, I would be a little more cautious, because that man is going to determine everything about your future, your income level, and where you go to church and where you live and the neighborhood you live in. I know you're the neck that turns the head. I know all those things. But the bottom line is, once you say, I do, you're saying, I do live with you in that neighborhood, and I do enjoy your income, no matter how limited it is, and I do. So those are big words, although a small sentence. So you need to take your time and consider the word. This isn't a big word. It's not a fancy word, trajectory. That means, where is your arrow pointed, and where is that person's arrow pointed that you're interested in? Because at 18, 19, 20, you're basically on the same level. But by the time you're 40, there's a large distinction between those that are fulfilling their potential, those that are growing, those that stopped growing, those that peaked young in life. And I've seen difficulties in marriage because people thought they married on the same level, but by the time they got to 40 or 45, one was continuing to grow, the other one had stopped growing, and now they're miles apart in their maturity, in their motivation, in the, in their accomplishments, and it creates a lot of marital issues. So we're not going over every detail tonight. Can you stay with me tonight? This is important. This is the future of our young people. But before you ever even get to that point of deciding on a mate, Satan wants to defile you. And it starts in the mind and it starts in the heart. And I don't think that's going to be your purpose at the age of 8 or 10 or 12. It's going to be by accident. But someone is going to introduce you to something that defiles your mind and opens up a door of temptation. At that point, you've got to make a choice. Do I continue down this road? Do I defile myself? Or do I make a commitment to purity? Now, these are things that are going to affect your emotional stability down the road. They're going to affect your relationship with your husband and wife. Now I know, and don't walk away from me tonight. These are messages we normally like to avoid. I'm not going to avoid it. Very necessary. But young people, I'm asking you tonight, because if we're talking about purity, your parents can only put up so many safeguards. Your parents can only do so much to protect you and help you maintain your purity. But at some point, it's got to be a personal decision that you make. It's got to be a commitment that comes from your heart. It has to be something that you decide, because no rule, no pastor, no parent, not even the Holy Spirit, there's no one that is going to keep you in check until you say, I am making a personal commitment to purity. Yes, sir. This world wants to defile you. Satan's goal is to wreck you before you ever get to the marriage altar. And there's so much that once it gets in your mind, it becomes permanent in its scars and permanent in its ruts and permanent in its damage. So young people, let me say this. Young ladies, keep yourself pure. And then as you look for someone, you want to look for someone that is pure. Hold young men accountable. In your speech, let them know before you ever decide to get serious with a young man, I'm looking for someone that is pure. If a young man ever asks you, would you be my girlfriend, or ask your dad, can I court this young lady? Parents, fathers, one of the first questions out of your mouth, and ladies, one of the first questions out of your mouth should be, tell me about your involvement in pornography. It needs to be a question. Hold that young man accountable. Here's the problem. Things you never dealt with in your youth, things you would have never had to resist or never have to avoid, they have at their fingertips, they have at every turn now, whether it's walking through the mall or driving down the highway or watching a commercial or turning on a cell phone, whatever it is, it's just there. Yes, sir. It comes in waves. And if you think the best way to avoid temptation is having some kind of connection to consequence and knowing their ramifications from whatever I do, there's some permanent ramifications, damage or consequence to this. Well, youth doesn't connect those cables. Most youth has never had to pay a consequence. Mom and dad has paid their consequences. So their ability to resist temptation is not nearly as great because they don't understand the consequences they are creating for themselves long term. So you as a parent, you've got to be there and help them and pray for them and set up safeguards. But young people, once again, at the end of the day, you've got to make a commitment. So when you're looking for a mate, young ladies, look for a young man that is committed to purity. It's not that difficult. Adults know the look of a young person who has begun to damage their soul. The Bible says it's damaging to the soul, not just the spirit, but the soul, sinning against their own soul. You can see it in the light of the eyes. You can see it in the countenance. You can see it in the character of a young person. Young people like to think, I'm hiding this sin, and no one knows or no one can see it, but it is being seen and noticed. Maybe your parents are willfully oblivious. That doesn't mean the rest of the world is willfully oblivious. You need to make a commitment to purity. We know times are not getting better. Temptations are not going away. It's not for the next generation going to be getting any easier for them to withstand the pressures and the temptations. And they have got to make some commitments along this journey. And if you're going to get married, you need to say, I'm going to commit myself to being pure. And I want to find someone that wants to be pure and live for God. And that's not an easy decision to make. So when we talk about finding someone on the same level, headed the same direction, that encompasses more than just what is their income earning ability? What is their IQ? Do we enjoy? Oh, here's the normal young person. We both love oranges. And we both watch football, and that just means we're united. There has to be connection. I understand love. And let me say this, young people, there needs to be love involved. There needs to be parental involvement. You know all of these things. But love, even love, should not be the determining factor. There was a young man named Shechem, the Bible says loved. The Bible uses that word, loved. Amnon loved his own sister. Samson, they didn't say that. God said that. Samson loved Delilah. So you can have something deep-rooted, emotional, and it not be the right thing. And it not lead to purity, and it not lead to something that honors and glorifies God. So young people, there's a time in your life where you got to say, I've got to make this commitment to keep myself pure, leading up, even preceding a relationship with the opposite sex. You know the policy around here. You know the policy I had in my home until you graduated from high school. Why would you be interested in a relationship if you can't even buy the girl an ice cream? You don't even have a 2-seat bicycle. Just use logic here. You need to be a little more mature, financially stable, have a job where you're making more than the minimum wage, have a boss that has given you a name besides idiot. All of these things are important in order to have a relationship. But even when you reach that point, make sure that you get to the starting gate where you're both saying we have made a commitment to purity, because if not, there's going to be some serious problems created between that point and the wedding. Capital City, let me just say something as a church. We have a Christian school, and there are guidelines in the Christian school. We have a Bible college, there's guidelines in the college, and we want to be careful and cautious and all that. Now, here's what I am a pastor. I am not a policeman. So let me say this, number one, there are occasionally people in the church who want their pastor to be a policeman. I am not your policeman. And I don't need you to be a local church policeman. You say, Pastor, I've got an opinion. Did you see that young couple? What do you think? It doesn't matter. Unless they ask me, it doesn't even matter. But it really doesn't matter what you think, because you're not related. So your right to an opinion doesn't even exist. So I won't even answer that question. Do you think those two are made for each other? It doesn't matter. Not my child. Shouldn't you care? I should. I do. But I've wept too many tears for too many kids where parents wouldn't weep.
That's right.
I'm tired of weeping for other kids when parents won't even weep for their own. So if I'm related and I am your pastor, and if you ask, I told our young people recently, most people when they ask, they don't want to know the truth. You say, Pastor, you tell them the truth? Only if I'm convinced they want to know it. People don't come looking. Brother Brad, you guys that are pastors, how often do people come looking for truth? They want to know, honestly? Yeah. I'm not. You didn't come here looking for the truth. You came here looking for approval. So you put me in a hard spot because I don't approve and I know I can't give you the truth. So I got to become a politician for a moment. Maybe Brad went to Washington for training. Now, young people, at some point, you've got to understand this is the biggest decision of your life. This is going to affect everything, and maybe right now you can cover the potential problems in deficiencies in character or poor decision making, but these things are going to reveal themselves in marriage over and over and over again, and more with time. The strength of youth can deal with the headache of problems, but eventually your mind and your body is going to be worn down enough where you're going to get tired of fights that you used to be able to withstand physically and emotionally. Keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. It's going to make a big difference in your life. Keep thyself pure. It's going to make a big difference in your marriage. Keep thyself pure. So before you ever get interested, you keep your mind pure. You keep your eyes pure. You keep your gates. You guard your gates from impurities. Say, just because we're in 2020 and just because these are the times and I've waited, you guys know the story, the cell phones in our house and the rules that we've had. And some people think I'm antiquated because my kids couldn't have a phone until they graduated. Literally, one of the famous, my favorite memories is giving Chris his graduated phone, his graduation phone. That was so fantastic. Mark helped me with that. That iPhone box and a flip phone inside of it. I have never seen such a face of disappointment and someone trying so hard not to express because he was so convinced he was getting an iPhone. And I'm so convinced there's no way I was going to provide him one. What a horrific dad. Sometimes it feels good to be Mussolini. Now you say, Pastor, why would you do that? Because you're going to have access to all that soon enough. But young people, your parents can pay attention. You're going to, no matter what happens, you're always going to be a step ahead of them in technology because you were raised with it from birth and your parents were not. And they can put covenant eyes or provide accountability. But if it is in your heart to defile yourself, you will find the door. You will provide yourself the opportunity. And you're going to have to make a commitment. And a Christian school does not stamp that on your heart because we've had a lot of kids go through the Christian school and in the school defile themselves and out of the school defile themselves to an even greater degree. And a youth pastor cannot keep you from defiling yourself. And a pastor in preaching and services and sermons, and it takes a serious commitment. And then that commitment only grows because at some point you're going to find a young lady who actually thinks you're cute. It is so hard to believe. She's going to see you and think, anyways. Maybe she's going to think that you have the potential to become a millionaire. I don't know what she's going to be thinking. But at that point, as that relationship grows, you have something natural within you that's going to want to lower your safeguards, push the limits, and convince your parents that you don't need accountability. As long as you have life and breath, you need accountability. Now, Cap City, just so you know, I don't want to be the policeman, but I am the pastor of this church, and I think the worst thing you can do at any stage, well, I don't go to the Bible college, well, I'm not, I don't care where you are. If you set a bad example for these young people to follow, the damage that you can do to kids through a poor testimony, and when they know they've thrown all safeguards out the window, you say, well, we're behaving ourselves. That's not the impression that you're leaving on the minds of others. Well, people shouldn't think the worst. They do. That's what people do. Well, they're Christians and they should be bigger than that. Well, help them be bigger than that.
But it doesn't matter how kind, how soft, how careful I am tonight, it's not going to be careful enough for those of you that want to be offended.
Yeah, that's right.
I am fighting for your young people. And if we're not smart enough to say, if we are not safeguarding the purity of our youth, there is a problem in the future of Cap City Baptist Church. I don't know how many churches around the nation have this many young couples in the... Well, I've lost count at this point, 20, 22 weddings that we've done. Young people right here out of our church, I thank God for those marriages and those homes and those young people. We want to continue that in the future. But every year, as the world gets a little worse, we feel a little more antiquated. If you can trust flesh at any time, under any condition, I wouldn't trust that young man and that young lady locked in the house of God alone with Bibles, the Holy Spirit. Not if they have a flesh. Simple safeguards and a commitment that says, I want to stay pure. I want to make sure my testimony is one of purity. And Paul's looking at Timothy, his son in the faith, and he says, Timothy, you need to keep yourself pure. He had no cell phone. He had no internet. He had no cable TV, but he had a flesh. Young people, you're going to have to say, I need to be careful and follow guidelines. And that's why Dr. Brown, when he dated Rhonda, I mean, come on, they were looking for their false teeth before they went on their dates. But even in that stage of life, they set safeguards because they said, we want to keep ourselves pure, and we want, above and beyond keeping ourselves pure, we want to put it in the minds of others that are looking and watching that we will be pure, because someone else is going to use our example as an excuse for misbehavior. Keep thyself pure. Parents, you're going to have to help them with that. And I know young people focus on character, because biblical character, good character, and a young person is focused on purity. And you may say, he has high character and he works hard and I can see his work ethic. If he's not focused on purity, he does not have good character. And yes, I would do a reference check. Because young ladies, you can ask him the question, are you involved in pornography? And if they're living a lie, they'll have no struggle at all looking at you in the eye and saying, no, none at all. I would just do a little background check. Companies do it for employees and they plan on firing them in 6 months. You can't fire that sucker 6 months after you marry him. You're stuck. You better do a little background check. You better know. You might want to check. You might want to occasionally say, would you mind if I had someone look at your phone? You say, that would be very invasive if you're just courting. Not if you're going to live together for the rest of your lives. I am 49 years old and I have no fear of someone getting on my computer or my cell phone. And you have kids. Now, you just told on yourself. Pastor, you shouldn't be suspicious in nature. I'm not trying to be suspicious. Parents, at some point we can't be this oblivious. Because purity is something that affects every detail of their life in their future. You say, well, Pastor, I've already made some mistakes and Satan's already got a foothold there. You can make tonight a commitment to purity and say, I want to get reinforcement. I want to get help. And I want to find someone that will help me get beyond this struggle because I want a good, solid marriage and I want a solid future. And I don't want to dig this hole any deeper. I don't want the scars to be any worse. I don't want to suffer any more severe damage. Look for help. It's amazing how, as a pastor, you can preach a message like this and people will drop their heads and never pick it up again until the message is over. I'm not trying to hurt anyone tonight. I'm not trying to offend you tonight. I'm trying to protect your future. And young ladies, let me help you out. If that young man wants to take advantage of you before marriage, you've got a problem. Oh, I've heard pastors say in the past, I would take my shoe off and plant that heel in the side of his temple. I wouldn't waste time. I would go talk to someone with a shotgun. Shoes are way too expensive to damage. I mean, some of those, they got 50, 60, 80 bucks. Keep thyself. And dads, this is why you need to have the veto power, and that's why we sat down with our kids and say, listen, you can pick your mates, but we ultimately hold a veto power. Because if sometime during that courtship, truth is revealed that you're dealing with someone who doesn't have a mindset of keeping themselves pure, I want to be able to step in and say, I want my grandkids to grow up in a safe home. I want a son-in-law that I can respect and that can respect me. Whatever became wrong with a pastor preaching on purity or parents concerning themselves with the purity of their children? Whatever became wrong with Christians saying, let's help our kids maintain a moral standard before marriage, during courtship, and even after marriage? I'm fearful that maybe that is so deep-rooted in the lives of Christians, no one has the moral ground anymore to be able to stand up. Yeah. Maybe. Commitment to purity. Keep thyself pure. So here's what I'm going to ask you tonight. We're not even getting to the outline. We just went to the introduction. How about if we just go straight to the invitation? What if we did this tonight? I believe in positive peer pressure. We've never had an invitation like this tonight. Tonight, our only invitation is going to be a picture. That's it. Have someone with a cell phone, Pastor Mark or someone, take a picture tonight of any young person willing to say, I want to publicly make a commitment to keeping myself. And I want others to know so they'll hold me accountable. And if my future boyfriend is in this room, I want him to know I am going to keep myself pure.